This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. This week, congressional Democrats reached the end of their first 100 legislative hours. The administration accepts new oversight for the president's domestic wiretapping program. Defense Secretary Gates visits military leaders in Iraq as lawmakers in the United States continue to debate a proposed troop surge. NPR senior news analyst Dan Schor joins us. Hello, Dan.
Hi, Scott.
And Democrats in the House of Representatives wrapped up those first 100 hours they talked about, legislative hours, and as of last Saturday, they had passed three of the six bills on the agenda. What do they have to show for those 100 hours?
Oh, what they have to show is that they now have passed six bills, which was their target in the first place, and not in 100 hours, but in 87 hours. I had 13 hours left to spare. Could I just add at this point that I find it quite remarkable how the mood, the atmosphere in Washington between the Hill and the White House is changing, that they talk to each other differently. They pass bills. They actually pass bills on a bilateral basis. I think as interesting as anything is that there's a bill passed by the Senate by a vote of 96-2. That was to enact ethics reform.
Well, and I want to ask you about that bill because, of course, it's intended to rein in the influence of special interests and corruption. For example, no more free lunch for legislators. Of course, people will tell you there never was such thing as a free lunch, but they have to pay for their own lunch now, at least with they can't be treated by lobbyists. Now, some lawmakers, Republicans as well as Democrats, have said the bill just isn't strong enough. What do you notice in it?
Well, the public interest organizations which are follow all of this have said that this is pretty good. It's pretty good. It doesn't accomplish everything yet, but compared to the weak resolution that was introduced a year ago, it's considered a big plus for ethics reform.
The Bush administration has decided that the president's domestic wiretapping program will no longer operate warrantlessly. In the 13 months since the existence of the program was leaked to the New York Times, wiretapping has been solely at the discretion of the National Security Agency, and now the administration says it will get permission from the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, FISA.
Yeah, this is a very tricky situation. You know, they wrote a letter and they said, we will submit these things to the FISA, to the court, in order to authorize it. They don't say, however, that legally they have to do that. They just say they are doing that. The Senate is calling them up there and trying to ask them a lot of questions in order to flesh out just what it is that they are promising to do now. There apparently is some reason to be not quite sure that that we're home yet.
What do you make of the Pentagon's release of a new manual of procedures to be followed in detainee trials? What are some of those new rules that you might have noticed?
Well, the most important thing in these new rules is their attitude towards torture. They say that there may not be torture. There may, however, be evidence obtained under coercion. Now, if you can give me exactly the difference between coercion and torture, I'd like to know it.
Secretary of Defense Gates was in Iraq on Friday, met with military commanders, including General George Casey, who's the top U.S. commander in Iraq. General Casey says if additional troops are sent to Iraq, it may not be necessary to keep them beyond next summer. What do you make of his statement?
Well, they're trying to make this thing look as good as they, after all, the Senate is coming up next Wednesday with a resolution in which they say don't do it. They can't stop them from doing it, but nevertheless they say it's a bad idea, it's bad for the country, and don't do it. And in preparation for what's going to happen in Congress, it would be very useful to be able to indicate, well, we may bring them back earlier. There may be circumstances in which things move in such a way that we can bring them home. This is all part of a campaign to try to fend off the criticism of the Congress.
Why would a sense of the Senate resolution pass, which says don't send more troops, and yet a resolution that would deprive the administration of the money to do exactly that will probably not pass?
Money doesn't enter into this because the money is in their last appropriation. That is not what they're worried about. What is really now important to them is whether the people in Congress responding to the pressures of their own constituents say it's a terrible idea and don't do it. That is unhelpful to the White House, even though it doesn't involve money that could be cut off.
Dan, Art Buchwald died at the age of 81. You knew him for years.
I've known him since about 1949 in Paris. But when I think of Art, the one thing I think of is perhaps my favorite anecdote about him. In 1968, I was assigned by CBS as one of the people covering the Democratic Convention. As you recall, there were a lot of riots that were going on, and the police were beating up the kids pretty badly. I, as it happened, was called in by my boss and told that Soviet tanks had entered Czechoslovakia, and I should drop what I was doing right away and get home and get to Czechoslovakia there. I said, well, okay. And I walked out into the lobby a little bemused about what do I do first. And I ran into Art Buchwald, somewhat tousled from having tried to brush through the police outside and the kids outside. And he said, sure, I'm all shook up. I want you to come have a cup of coffee with me so I can steady my nerves. I said, I can't, Art. I'd love to, but I can't. He said, what do you mean you can't? I'll pay. He said, oh, well, that's not the problem. He said, what is the problem? He said, well, I got to go to Czechoslovakia. And he paused and said, chicken.
Thanks very much, Dan Shore.
Sure.